الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. Before getting on with our talk, the other day I mentioned two errors our satis committed by walking. One was right in front of the sheikh, and the other was between, not only in front of the sheikh, but between two people, and both happened to be alims. And the one brother, though he's much my senior, I respect him very much, but he came and he asked for forgiveness, and in a straightforward way. No beating about the bush, I made a mistake, forgive me. That is the attitude we must have. It is said that to make an excuse is worse than the crime itself. Many of us like to justify ourselves, even if it is in our own thoughts. And this is now a mashallah grown-up person, respectable person. And the other brother, perhaps he did not even still realize that he made a mistake. And if he did, he did not ask for forgiveness, which is very important. And the other is our friends who are aware of this. And they see it. I remember with us as children at home also, when we go and visit also, brothers, sisters will all say, don't do this, do that, don't do this, this is wrong. And even when we were at madrasa, always we told one another, even when we went to the khanqah, but we don't see that happening. Everyone is just living a life of his own. And we don't encourage one another, we don't tell one another. That's a lack of brotherhood, which is also a serious thing. May Allah give us all tawfiq to righteousness, inshallah. We were talking about Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, that Allah has made rozas for us on every part of the body. And we discussed there about the tongue. There are certain other points also which are important. And the roza of the tongue, a year in Ramzan for us, is you must speak as little as possible. And that will mean you mix as little as possible. And also it refers to the cell phone. Whether you're speaking to somebody on the phone or whether you're typing messages, it will come in the hukam of speaking. So minimize it to the absolute necessity only. Only what is absolutely essential. Buzurg system was such that they would at night, they would write down all that they had spoken. Then at night they would consider what was necessary of this, what was unnecessary. But today we talk so much we won't be able to write it. Our whole time will go in writing then. So you can imagine how little they spoke, so they could write it down. They could remember. We won't even remember all what we spoke. There's so much we speak. So we should try and control it. And this is a very good idea, even if we are speaking so much. At night when you lie down to sleep, then just before that, just make this muraqabah. That today all what I spoke, even just in a general way, oh Allah, all what I spoke unnecessary, and what I spoke wrong, that we have to ask maaf for. And what I spoke unnecessarily, ask for that also. And then inshallah, we will see, we will get control over the tongue. Remember also, the word that comes out of the tongue is no different from the bullet that comes out of the barrel. Once that bullet is out, you can never retrieve it and let it come back again. The word that is gone out, you can't pull it back. You can say, I'm sorry. You can beg for forgiveness, but it's gone. And also remember the damage the word does, your tongue does, hands and other things don't cause so much of harm. How much your tongue causes. And many of us, unfortunately, because we did not learn to control the tongue, we have broken our wives' hearts. And remember, in a broken heart, you can't put anything. Then many of us feel, my wife doesn't respond, she doesn't show me love, she acts very aloof and very different, she's just like in a world of her own. We broke her heart. And with what did we break it? With our words. Hey, we broke our heart, and now you can, what can you put in the, in a broken heart? And also, we don't appreciate our wives. One person, about few months ago, overseas, his wife suddenly passed away. Now he's so sorry, he can't get over it. And then he's saying all the time that now I should just tell her, do this, do, why you didn't do this, why you didn't do this, do that. He said, and she got a very good mot. He said, I didn't know she was a wali of Allah. And how I was treating her all the time, bossing her, ordering her around. So afterwards then we appreciate. Another friend of ours also, his wife passed away in Medina Sharif. He also came, he said, after Fajr, usually I stay my 1 hour, 2 hours, but that day I came straight after Fajr, and I started taking off with her, that you know I wanted my tea, you didn't make it, etc., but she was ill. She said, I put everything ready for you, just put the kettle on and pour the water, but she passed away in that. Now he's so sorry, that I didn't realize what kind of a woman I had. So all this, that we treat, especially what our tongue is out of control in the house. Many of us, we come here to the gathering, we come in suffer also, we like buzurgs, we like walis. So our tongue also is, but at home, ask the wife what kind, what, how he speaks. And usually in some of our friends, the family members complain the swear words they use. I usually say if there was a dictionary of swear words, which I hope there isn't, today you can expect anything to be happening. Then you won't find that swear words even in that dictionary. So the tongue, and when it's out of control, is worse than a car that is out of control. It is worse than a plane that is gone out of control, when the tongue is out of control. And it won't come under control just like that, but till we don't make a definite effort. And with our rosas, this is the ideal time. And remember also that what was absolutely essential, only that Allah has made for us. And in the faraiz also there are levels of farida, of things which are farad. And the most important is La ilaha illallah. And Allah has made that the most common, so easy for everyone. In fact, ulama have written, there are no hurufi halqi, from the throat, their words in La ilaha, so you could pronounce it easy. Many people have a problem in pronouncing the ayn, the qaf, etc. So Allah didn't put any of that words in there. All, and they are all the sahl alphabets, which come out very easily. La ilaha illallah. So easy it is, and this is the greatest thing. Allah made it so freely available, so easy to pronounce it. Allah made it so easy. So what was the most important for us? Allah made it also. So the other farais you can understand also. So that Allah has made rozas for us, and rozas for us on every part of the body, because this was so essential. And so if we will keep our rozas, and we keep the rozas of all the parts of the body, you will come, as I told, not a Japanese reconditioned car, Allah reconditioned. And Allah reconditioned, Allahu Akbar. Your wife will be surprised also that what kind of a man is this, from where he came. And so if we change our lives like that, we will see the difference. So the tongue is very, very important in what we speak. Also from another aspect that we can understand how important it is to control the tongue, is that the child is made in the womb of the mother, and there is also a fascinating creation and qudrat of Allah. And this subject also, you can never exhaust it. How Allah Ta'ala yakhluqukum fi butuni ummahatikum. Allah creates you, makes you in the wombs of your mothers. Yakhluqukum fi butuni ummahatikum khalqam min ba'di khalqin fi zulumatin thalath. Subhanallah. And the three stages Allah makes that person in three levels of darkness. يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِهَا أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ. And from one stage to the others, that how Allah Ta'ala has created this man. One professor of medicine, gynecologist, has written a book of how the child is formed. And in there, a later book of his, he has spoken on alaqah. And he explains three meanings of alaqah in Arabic.
And he says like that you won't understand. And some of them only if you do it under a scan, microscope, you can see the meaning of alaqa then. The three different meanings. And at the end of it, he says, this is the word of God. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. And that only Allah, no scientific experiment can prove this, what Allah Ta'ala has told. Anyway, that's not our subject now, though it's a wonderful and necessary subject also. Now Allah Ta'ala, what I want to explain, has made this child in 4 months, and between 4 months, 4 months, 10 days, the formation of the body is completed. And Allahu Akbar, according to World Health Organization, 250,000 babies are born a day in the world. So 250,000 factories of Allah Ta'ala. And all those factories, the wombs of the mothers, and there all this is happening. No, it's not an assembly plant, that the engine is coming from one country, the tires are coming from another country, the body is coming from another company. No, everything is made there, and nothing is delivered there. And all, Allah Ta'ala make all this from one drop of semen. In that one drop of semen, we are fascinated with a chip, with one SIM card, that how much information it can carry. One chip, how much information, that one drop of semen has got the bones of the brain, which are very strong, so to protect the brains. In that same drop of semen is the brain itself also, which is of a complete different material. In that drop of semen is the rib cage also, to protect all the vital organs here. And in there is the basis of the heart, the lungs, the liver, all completely different, worlds apart. The functioning of the lungs compared to the heart, the pancreas, the liver, all these things completely, Allahu Akbar. How Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, after 4 months and about 10 days, life comes in here, the ruh is put in here. Now life comes in there. Now in this life, the child is alive now. It needs food from that already. And Allah in His wisdom has made the nourishment, the food of that baby, the menses, the monthlies of the mother. The dirty blood of the mother, Allah made that the food. The mother doesn't eat her share of her food and then for the child she eats again. And it must go to the child. No, the menses Allah has made it. And that inshallah we will explain that what great, why did Allah make that? What the wisdoms which we understand, only Allah knows His work. Nobody else will know but what Allah puts in the minds of the ulama, and they explain this. So anyway, then the food goes through to the baby from the mother, from the umbilical cord. And the childbirth is a simple process. All what has to be done, the child is born and you have to cut the umbilical cord, knot it and push it back in. That's all you have to do. Childbirth is not all this big story which they are making today. And the caesareans and all that, there is money making schemes behind it and political agendas behind it. Otherwise, it's nothing. It's a simple, straightforward thing. Otherwise, you'll need for the elephants, for their childbirth. You'll need all maternity homes also. And you'll need for the crocodiles also a maternity home. But nothing like that. They're giving birth just like that. How many their offspring? So anyway, now through the umbilical cord, the child is fed. Now what was the wisdom behind this which ulama explained? Why did not Allah Ta'ala make that umbilical cord go through the mouth? Because it's a menses, it's dirty. So Allah made the intizam and system to keep the tongue pure and clean. That the dirty blood, which is the dirty, the menses of the monthlies of the woman, is dirty blood, filthy blood. But then that is the food. Allah did not allow it to go through the mouth, that this mouth is going to read Quran Sharif. This tongue is going to read La ilaha illallah. This tongue is going to eat halal food. It must be kept pure and clean. Allah made so much of intizam for the purity of our tongue. It's a different thing. We dirty the tongue now. How many parents teach the children to swear? With my own ears I heard some non-Muslim people. In Germiston, when I should go and buy the house necessities, and you find these colored people, other people,
And they swear themselves, and they tell the children, swear that person. That person did something, swear that person. Teach them all bad habits, etc. Hey, so this year, Allah kept it pure and clean. Allah kept it pure and clean that he's going to eat halal and tayyibah. He must get the taste of halal and tayyibah. Today, unfortunately, we've got no taste for halal and tayyibah. We got taste for rubbish and filth and dirt. How many people, Hajj Umrah, on the Dastarkhan in Makkah Sharif, in Medina Sharif, is the black Zamzam. Is Pepsi Cola there. It's all other colas. And Zamzam, when they're coming home, then they bring a lot to impress the people, or Allah knows for what, that we, there they don't drink Zamzam. Where Zamzam is so freely available, and you are right there, there the Sprite is going, and Pepsi Cola is going, and all the other cold drinks are going there, drinking the black Zamzam. No, but when we're coming home, then you see them bringing, they want to force their way and carry 20. You allow 10 liters Zamzam, they try and they feel it a great achievement. I brought 20 liters for each one in the family. I brought 20 liters. And for what? There, when you were there, you're not having Zamzam all the time, where the source of it is. Similarly, today, and today we can't taste also. One lady visited us, her son completed in the Chelsea. So she said that the Zamzam packs which we are getting today, she told her husband, this is not Zamzam. He said, don't toba, toba. Respect, don't talk like that about Zamzam. It's Zamzam. She said, I'm telling you it's not Zamzam. Afterwards it was found out. It's a scam. They're bottling ordinary water and selling it so expensive as Zamzam water. Whereas it's not actually. So our taste is gone. We can't make the difference. Today, the original chicken, the farm chicken, which in some places is called Zulu chicken, Desi chicken. How many of us, we don't like it. We only like the other chicken, which is filth. The food, the feed that is given to these chickens, it is from the poultry farm where they slaughter. Certain chicken die. That same chicken, they crush it and they make that the feed. Whatever other dirt and rubbish comes, it is just like our polonies and our sausages. Hey, this is all the leftover and the dirt that is left. And then finally it is minced, grinded and made very fine. And then a beautiful color is added to it, and with spices it's made tasty. And then we eat it. And we enjoy that. For that, you people will go mad for the polony and for the sausages, etc. And this is all filth and dirt. And for original things, we have got no taste. We don't enjoy the original things today. How many of us, children, if the mother has to cook mug or dal, mummy, what is this? What you made today, mummy? They just can't eat it. Yes, when you make burgers and you make the AK-47s, and you make all the other things, then they are so happy. So our taste has changed. Allah kept our tongues pure so that we can taste, but we have spoiled the tongues. And now we haven't got taste for the original, to eat fresh and original food. Perhaps the best meal I had was in Bangladesh. We were sitting and eating there, and our host, Haji Dilawar, he told me when we sat down that this chicken you are eating, just 2 hours ago, this chicken was walking around. We slaughtered it into the pot, and that desi, original chicken. And from the pot into your plate. No deep freeze, which is a mortuary. Today, all our food must first put it in a mortuary. They're all dead food. It is dead, there is no value in it, so we put it in a mortuary. And then from the mortuary into the microwave, the fire of Jahannam. From the mortuary we put it in the fire of Jahannam. From there now we start eating. So what can you expect of our akhlaq, our way of thinking, our mental capacity, our emotional capacity, our spiritual capacity when we are eating food like that? Then when I dished out fish, and there the wealthy people have got their own ponds, and they just pull out fish when they want to. So he told me this fish was in the water 2 hours ago. We pulled it out from there, and they don't have to fish with they just got their nets and they pulled it out, and it was in the pot and from the pot into your plate.
Then there was mutton, goat. He said, this goat was walking around here. And that food was so tasty, I'm getting water in my mouth now. All this tasty food, this original food. So he says it was walking around. We slaughtered it, so no mortuary there. And no fire of Jahannam, original. And also, there is also a thing which is now perhaps far beyond us. To cook on the original flame. We were in Mozambique, in one place, Pilimani, and they made halim for us. And the lady announced and said that this, I cooked it on actual coal, not on the electric stove or a gas stove. That food that is cooked on the kolsa, on the coal, and it's slow heat. And if it is cooked, and alhamdulillah, Allah gave us the opportunity of eating such food, which is cooked in earthenware. The taste of it, you're amazed. Then you can get some idea what will be the taste of the food of Jannah. That when we eat, today we are eating all artificial things. But the sad part is, our tongue is used to now. And the original things we don't like. Our children can't have the original to drink water. Fortunate. Also, there is another very important point. The more your iman grows in you, the more you will like the original things and the simple things. And the more your iman is weaker, artificial things you'll enjoy. And the original things, you'll start disliking it. Our children and we. Today, it's so sad. South African dastarkhan is famous. No water on the dastarkhan. Only cold drinks. Whereas water is the original thing. But we don't like water. We can't drink. If there's water, there's nothing. Yes, when there's cold drink there, when the Coke is there, when the Pepsi is there, all those things, then the dastarkhan. So much so, we South Africans are so badnam, spoiled. Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali once made da'wat of the South African Jamaat in Madina Sharif for breakfast at his house. Special, his own da'wat, not the general food. Then the next day he told him again da'wat. He said, because yesterday there was no cold drinks. And South Africans, da'wat is not complete without cold drinks. Until there isn't cold drink, it's not a da'wat without it. So the more your iman gets built, naturally you and one sup of water, and not only alhamdulillah will come out, but actually alhamdulillah illadhi saqani alman furatan birahmati walam yajalhu milhan ujajan bidhunubina. The way you'll enjoy that water. You will enjoy this. So in any case, this tongue, Allah Ta'ala has kept it pure and clean. So that we speak pure and clean words. So that we eat pure and clean things. Not only halalan, halalan tayyiba. That is what is required. And this instruction was actually directly to the Rasuls, to the Prophets, alayhimus salatu wasalam, the messengers of Allah. Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat. Halal, Allah did not even mention. That is, it's in the bag, it has to be halal. But besides halal, the other big condition, and this is also, as you want to upgrade, in dunya things we want to upgrade, in deen also you want to upgrade, you'll have to first upgrade on your food. It's come to tayyiban. For that level of people, this ordinary food won't be good enough for you. If you want to have your akhlaq and the consciousness of Allah and your ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, you will have to see that you eat halal and tayyiba. And also don't be under this illusion and misconception that today it's impossible, it's difficult. No, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, what a beautiful poem he said, Shaykh peene ka to irada kare, asman se mangwai jayegi. That the Shaykh, you make your irada, your intention to drink, drink of the wine of Allah. The wine, your wine will come from the heavens. In other words, that wine of the love of Allah will come. But you make your intention. If you have an intention you want to eat halal and tayyiba, you will see, you will be amazed how Allah opens the ways. And then you will see, Allahu Akbar, what can I say? UK, it's a huge crime. If you have to slaughter animal up to, I think, £2,000 fine. Which is roughly about 30,000 rand. If you have to slaughter a chicken or anything at home, Not according to regulation, not in the abattoir. You slaughter on a farm also, you are not allowed. Only with the abattoir you can. And that also so many conditions. But there Allah give the brothers jazaa khair. They gave me desi chicken to eat. And they gave me all this partridge and guinea fowl. Otherwise it's impossible, you're not allowed at all. But they Sheikh Pine Kata Irada Kare, Asman se mangwai jayegi. And then this original food. Yeah, Allahu Akbar. Just before Ramzan, people were sending this farm chicken, not only from various places in the country, from out of the country. Otherwise to bring it through at the airport, the agricultural people are very strict there. But Alhamdulillah, Allah, it was meant and it came. So this is, don't may be under this false misconception that it's very difficult to get. You make the irada, you start working towards it, and you will get it. So much so, goat milk is very healthy. There's a little bit off the subject, but I'll just mention. Also, if you make the intention you want to have goat, the best milk, and for babies, give them goat milk. All this, what do the children get? No. This is the answer to it. Goat milk is the answer to it. So anyway, so the tongue Allah has given us, it's a small thing, but it is a very, very big thing. Its subject also is very big. It's a small thing, but its subject also is very big. So what we should do in Ramzan, whether we are here in i'tikaf, whether we are in the masjid, or whether we're staying at home, try and speak consciously as little as possible. And try and write down everything you speak. And then think of it, was this necessary? Should I have said that? And if you learn to control your tongue, there is also a sad thing. Today only that person is good company who blabbers all the time. If you're having a braai something and all are sitting quiet, I must control my tongue. Oh, which people I called here? This is not the right thing. We want people who make a joke out of nothing also. And make a joke out of everything also. That nothing to say, but they got something to say. That is, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali has written a beautiful story in poetic form. He says that in the days of the past, kings were also very pious people. So one pious king, he wanted his son to become an alim. In those days, they were not Darul Ulums. You send your son to a Darul Ulum, he becomes an alim. They should send him to an alim. He stays by the alim in his house. And they make khidmat in the house. They do all the housework and they learn from the sheikh. So he graduated. So the king was very happy. My son became an alim. And the king, he made a da'wat according to a king's da'wat. Huge da'wat in which he called all the great ulama, all prominent people, big da'wat he made. And then just before meals, he told the son, say a few words, ayat of Quran, translated, hadith, anything, say something. The son just kept quiet, dumbfounded, not speaking a word. After coaxing him a lot, but he wouldn't speak. So the king thought, perhaps he's got stage fright. He's just graduated, he's a young alim son, and big ulama here, everyone, so maybe he's afraid. So he left him. Then he saw he's not speaking, even in the kingdom, in the house. He's not speaking at all. Then he tried therapy, speech therapy, he must speak, nothing is helping. Then he thought one day a plan that he'll send him out like a picnic, a hunting spree with the other ministers. When he's a bit light-hearted, maybe he'll open up and then he'll speak. So as this whole group of theirs was going in order to hunt, they passed by a partridge. Nobody saw the partridge. After they went past this group, hunting group, then the partridge made its sound. The sound apart, they say, we passed the partridge and we didn't hunt it. Partridge meat is very delicious to eat and zero cholesterol and very delicious also. So they went back, they hunted the partridge. Then the boy spoke. He said, as long as you were quiet, your life was safe. You spoke and there your life is gone. That he spoke, but yet all the other ministers, they heard the boy spoke. And with our own ears we heard, he can speak, he's not dumb, he can speak. immediately they went back to the king. We heard him speak, he spoke, and they explained what happened and the occasion that he spoke. The king said, oh, he can speak, made another very big da'wah again. He told him again, say some ayat of the Quran, hadith, translate it, but he wouldn't speak at all. The king said, he's pretending, he can speak, but he's not speaking. So he ordered the jallad. Jallad is the one who gives punishment in the royal kingdom. And he told him, give him 100 lashes. He's pretending, he can speak, but he's not speaking. So the jallad, when 99 lashes he gave him, then he spoke. And he said that partridge, it spoke once in its life, it spoke and it lost its life. I spoke and I got 99 lashes. And what about that person who all the time, chuck, chuck, buck, buck, all the time talking, talking, talking. Qiyamah's day, what will be his condition? The Quran Sharif says, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That whatever word you just speak, it is recorded. Yet today, it's before for the ulama to explain to the people was difficult how they record everything. One person made dua to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, kiram and katibin, who write down everything. I would like to see them. Allah accepted his dua. Allah showed them. They are busy in their office. They're writing everything, scribes, recording everything. So he said, Assalamu alaikum. They didn't reply anything. Wrote down, Assalamu alaikum. He said that you don't say wa alaikum assalam. They wrote down, you don't say wa alaikum assalam. He said, you write everything. They wrote it down. You write everything. Everything is recorded. And today with the videos, audio videos, you can understand this. And but that audio video also can't capture everything. Especially where the workers, they are also, the cameras on them also. Everywhere there are cameras today. And everything is recorded all the time. But those people, they know that at what angle that camera it is. And if they want to do anything wrong, they know they just have to, where they must do it. So the camera cannot, but these cameras here, and the voice also is recorded, and everything is recorded fully. So whatever we do, it is being recorded. So whatever we speak, and on Qiyamah's day, Allahu Akbar, will this be not enough a task to answer for everything that we spoke? We will be asked for everything that we spoke about. And then, how long will that hisab kitab take? How long will it take to get to Jannah? So we should learn to control our tongue. And how many big, big accidents of the world were made because of the tongue? You ask your wife, for example, is it clear that side? And she said something in ambiguity. She just said, yeah. And you thought it's clear. Whereas she was meaning something else. How big, big accidents have happened like this. Just because the tongue was not used correctly. And this is also very important, which I mentioned, for our kitab reading also. The brothers who read kitab, read clearly. Don't read like you got a pan in your mouth. Some people, like you got a sweet in your mouth, then the words are not coming out clear. Clear, and a person, you must make it so user-friendly that a person doesn't have to think and ask that what did the person say. It must be so clear. And don't rush. We are not here just to on a racetrack. And you just want to read your kitab, finish. And many words, sometimes they need a little explanation. Though it is in English, but you need a little explanation. One good friend of ours, very elderly man, passed away, Baji Patel Sahab Marhum. He should say, some ulama, when they give bayan, you have to sit with a dictionary in the bayan. All the jawbreakers they use, you need a dictionary to see now what he's saying. And many times we use the Urdu words or the Arabic words, and it's a predominant English speaking people, group, crowd. And the words you spoke, and you're just going on with that technical term. Many times it's a technical term. The poor audience don't know. Allah give jaza khair. Our audience are all sami'na wa ta'na. They just listen and we obey. Whether we understood, we don't understand. MashaAllah Maulana, you gave a very good bayan. Half of the things they didn't understand, you're using big, big technical terms. And you're using things which are beyond their capacity. But it's MashaAllah, they got that nature in them. But it's necessary for us. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali Hazrat's poems. And many times in poetry, you have to use words which are a bit more difficult, what we'll call jawbreakers. Hazrat used to say, explain it to the people. And Hazrat should come in a josh. He says that, why are you just bypassing it like that? Explain to this what is mentioned here. Everything Hazrat wanted to simplify it so that the masses can understand. That's the object. The object is not to have just a bayan, that we just have heavy bayan took place and nobody understood the bayan also. You using so many jawbreakers, you using so many technical terms, you using so many Urdu words, English, Arabic words, and the poor masses, they haven't understood. Or maybe they'll understand something else. And you talking of one subject and their mind is in another subject. Like if a person, a new apprentice goes to a carpenter, to a plumber, or to an electrician, and he tells the apprentice, the learner, that bring the female socket. His mind in female socket, he's got something else in his head. And yeah, a female socket is something else, or the male socket. And so to understand this, you have to explain it. So when you read kitab also, rather read little less. But read it with the words clearly explained. You are not on a racetrack. You are not doing a Kialami racetrack and winning a race. You are just rattling off the things like that. No, it must be said even in bayan. You speak in such a way that the people can understand. Many people misunderstand the words also. When you don't open your mouth and speak properly. Like in the house, husband and wife, you say something, wife didn't understand, she say, open your mouth and speak. You tell her, go and have your ears cleaned. And your ears are dirty, you can't hear. No, you must speak properly. So that the person who is even half sleepy, he also can hear it properly. So it must be the same thing with elan that is made. Jamaat brothers also, our nazims here, they also have to make elan from time to time. Many times, nobody knows. If it's a tablighi elan, we know it's tablighi. There's going to be kashd after this. Oh, but, yeah. But what he said, we don't know. Very long ago, we went in Jamaat. One brother joined us, a school teacher. And the next town we went, he had a lot of jazba in him, feeling, which is a good thing. But to channel that feeling also is very important, to channel it correctly. So he stood up and he said that there will be a bayan, and Maulana is with us, he's going to give the bayan, and I'll just give you a gist of the bayan. And he started the bayan himself there, that what the bayan was. He had that feeling, jazba built in him somehow, to get the message to the people. So elan is elan. Elan is not a bayan. Like the adhan is adhan. So give the adhan. Namaz will take place afterwards. Azans also, some people give 5 minutes, 6, 7 minutes azan. No, that will happen in namaz. In namaz, namaz will be namaz. But the adhan is only elan. So don't pull so much. And while we are on that subject, little bit on that, while we are on that subject, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib, Jazahumullah Khair, wa Rahimullah, was very particular about that adhans must be given correctly. And he should say, at least let us give our adhans according to sunnah. This long, long pulling in the adhan. One is that, and the one is that up, down in the tune. Like Ashhadu an la. And people like that kind of azan. The taste of ours is gone spoiled. Our ears also, that kind of azan, beautiful. And if you give azan according to sunnah, today people don't like it. And if it's azan, today namaz according to sunnah, you took your time, and ta'deel, arkan, and nicely you made your namaz, oh, you're taking too long in namaz. Quick namaz, yeah, that is good. So anyway, this adhan. So just, I don't want to go into details, but Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi gave a beautiful example by which we can understand if we don't give our azans correctly. He said that if your name is Ismail, for example, and somebody calls you and say, Ismail, you'll get cross, you'll get, give that person one slap, you're making a fool out of me. You're playing the fool. Allah's name, we're pulling like that. Imagine, Ismail will get cross. Anyone's name like that, and he's justified, is that you're making a mock out of me, the way you're calling my, and Allah's name on the mic. And all Muslims are happy about it. It's really a mock of Allah's name, and we are all content with it. And this is again a little bit saving correct azan. in the Haramain Sharifain, the azans are not according to Sunnah. When Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was himself present, there is a department. If you have an opinion, you have an idea, you can submit your submission there. So he sent it, that azan. He said the next azan was according to Sunnah. But again, back to the old trend after that again. So, and our tastes are all spoiled in this also. So anyway, before we forget that this Allah Ta'ala made the child, the umbilical cord, through that Allah fed the child directly from the stomach of the mother, right direct to the navel of the child. So it doesn't go through the mouth. The other question that arises, that why did Allah make the menses, the food of the child? The child, Allah could have made it pure food which the mother eats. From there, food goes there also. But why did Allah make the menses? One of the reasons ulama give is that this humility must come in a person. Think of your originality. That what was I? I made of dirt and filth of the menses of my mother. That was my first food. Today, that what I'm thinking I'm a big wali. And what I'm thinking I'm a big lord and a big king. Think of your originality. فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَعَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. What's the beginning of the ayah? هُوَعَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ. Allah knows you more better. وَإِذْ أَنْشَاكُمْ هُوَعَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَاكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. He knows you very well. أَعْلَمَ. Isma tafzeel. Allah knows you very, very well. That at that time when He made you from earth, your matter, you were made of sand and water. خَلَقَكُم مِّن تُرَاب. He made you from sand. Directly Adam alayhi salam, He made from sand. Or you also made from sand. Indirectly, that the food you eat, whatever you eat, whether it's your mutton, your chicken, whether it is your vegetables, whether it is your fruit, it all comes from the ground. The sheep and the cows also ate the grass which is from the ground. The feed is from the ground, the original feed is from the ground. And all your vegetables, your fruit is from the ground. From there, it was made blood when the parents ate it. The blood was converted into semen. And from one drop of semen, we made you. So you also created. وَعَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. When He made you insha, He gathered you and made you from the earth. إِذْ أَنْشَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. And when you were a jinnah, you were that you couldn't fend for yourself. You couldn't earn your own food. You couldn't eat your own food. You forget earning, you couldn't eat your own food. You had no idea. At that time, Allah gave you this. And what He gave you? The monthly menses of your mother. That dirty blood. So today, don't accept ana wala ghairi. Don't think that I'm so great. Think of what you were. يا هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. What does not that time come upon insan that he thinks at one time when I was not شيئا مذكورا. I wasn't even a شيء. I wasn't a thing also. I wasn't شيئا مذكورا, not a thing spoken about. For example, if somebody is 40 years old today, 41 years ago, the parents also did not talk about him. Yes, later, when the mother conceived, then she told the father, I think I'm expecting. My monthlies are not coming. It looks like I'm expecting. Then she started speaking about the father also. Then they started making dua. If they were Muslims or God conscious, even if they're not Muslims, but they're conscious of Allah, they started talking, may Allah give us a healthy child, may Allah give us a good child. If they were pious people, inshallah, we'll make him happy. Now you are being spoken about. Before that, you were a thing which was not even spoken about. So this is the haqiqat. So don't forget your originality. This last year, Allah gave us tawfiq, we went for Umrah. When we went to Masjid al-Quba, one thought came to me as I was making sajda. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come every Saturday to Masjid al-Quba. And why should Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come? So a thought came to me that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave Masjid al-Nabawi afterwards. Allah gave his sahaba. Allah gave him respect, gave him honor. He never forgot his original. That from where I came, where there was nothing, when we just came new into Medina, strangers to Medina. And we had nothing. First stop was Koba. And he never forgot his original roots. So we also must never forget our original roots. Our parents never forget them. And on that one point, mashallah, Allah reward brothers, they have made their khatams and they told that our first khatam sawab we have sent for you. Allah accepted. I can't do anything myself, just depending on the support of my friends. But also, don't forget your ustad who taught you alif, ba, ta, fa. Today to give to the Sheikh Sawab is very easy. Or to give to the Ustad who taught you Bukhari Sharif and your final kitabs. You understand and you appreciate them. But the Ustad who taught you Alif Ba'atata. Don't forget your mother who taught you the original, your namaz you learned. And almost everyone learned his namaz from his mother, copied his mother. As she was making, he also just upside down ruku, sajda or whatever. Afterwards, on that basis to understand masail was easy. If a person who doesn't know anything about namaz, and you try and tell him from kitabs, he won't be able to understand. When you saw that practical form, so don't forget the originality. Whoever was the source of our original inspiration in anything, who was the source, and this is a thing of reality, a person who gets his hidayat through tabligh jamaat, he's so loyal to tabligh, which is right and it's correct. A person who gets his hidayah through becoming an alim, he dies for a darul ulum. He dies for his ustaz, which is correct. A person who got his hidayah and the deep understanding of deen and marifat and closeness of Allah through khanka, he becomes a die heart of his sheikh and of the khanka, which is correct, of course. So don't forget your original. So Allah also reminds us that your original was those menses. Don't forget it. Don't think today that I'm a big person. Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullah alayh was a very great, fair, pious and righteous king. And one of his slaves was Ayaz. And Ayaz had great, great qualities. It's not time to explain the different things, but one aspect that comes to mind now, the courtiers, they saw that he became the favorite of the king. Because of which the king, the courtiers, the other people became jealous of him. Why did he be? He's a new person and he's the favorite of the king, right-hand man of the king. So they came and whispered things in the king's ears that you gave Ayaz so much of closeness to you. You made him your favorite. But do you know what? What? That at night he goes and he steals from the state treasury. You have given him the keys of the treasure, of the safes, of the vaults also, and he goes and steals. He says, impossible. Ayaz, I know him. He says, you check for yourself. Don't take our word for it. You, together we'll make arrangement. We'll hide away somewhere, and at night you will see he goes and he opens the safe, and he goes. And who goes 2 o'clock in the morning to the safe? Person wants to steal. Then he's stealing from the safe. So the king said, okay, we'll check. They check, abad. Ayaz came middle of the night. And then he goes in the safe, opened it. And then he said, you see for yourself. He said, let us go and check. Actually, what is he stealing? What is he doing? When they went there, they found that Ayaz, he was an ordinary slave on the road first. And he had his torn and tattered clothes. The king brought him and made him his, because of qualities. That's another subject. A person becomes valuable not by your clothes. A person becomes valuable by the qualities you have. That we don't see today. Today we want to, what we are wearing, what kind of brand names our clothing, and what kind of fashionable clothes, by that we attach our value. Value is not by the clothes you wear. Mullah Nasiruddin, who is famous, all his stories, so he went for a dawat, and he was dressed with his torn and tattered clothes. They chased him away. There is a dawat of the big royal people. So he went, he put on his robes, big jubba, kubba, big amama. He came dressed. They allowed him to go in. When he went in, he started eating and he's taking the food and putting on his clothes. Yeah, there, every. They say, Mullah, what's wrong with you? Yeah. He says, this dawat is not for me. I was invited. But when I came with my torn and tattered clothes, I was chased away. When I came with this clothes, so the clothes I invited, to open their minds, that you people giving value to clothes, not to the person. The person has got value. So anyway, so they saw that Ayaz, that the torn and tattered clothes that he had, but he became a favorite of the king because of his qualities. So yeah, he used to come middle of the night, every night, take off the robes and the beautiful clothes that he's wearing as a now courtier of the in the king's palace, and he should put on the torn and tattered clothes. Then he should look into a mirror, and he says, Ayaz, don't forget your haqiqah. Don't forget your reality. Remember, this is what you were. Allah made fazl on you. Today he's put you wearing this robes and you are wearing this valuable clothes, etc. But that was your originality. So never ever forget our originality. And our originality is that we are made from sand. The sand that we walk on. Our shoes, we say dirty, take it out, outside the masjid. Don't come, somebody come with your shoes in the masjid, everyone will fight with him. How can you walk with your shoes in the masjid? Just because it got a few particles of sand. We are made of that sand. Our whole system, we are made of water, we are not made of Coca-Cola and Pepsi. We are made of water. That what we don't like, we are made of that. That is our originality. Don't forget your originality. And so Allah made us of sand. He made us of that menses, of that dirty. Today any small thing, or somebody clean his nose, or what kind of a person is that? Anything like that, any small thing, we have an objection for that. But don't forget, we were made of what we were made. Today don't think that I am such a great person. And also remember, this abdiyat is the greatest, one of the greatest qualities. In fact, Allah had preordained the nubuwwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as far as zahiri asbab is concerned, because of the abdiyat of Nabi, that he was a slave of Allah. And a slave, not only that he realized I'm a slave, his whole attitude was also of a slave. When he would eat like in a squatting position. And then he would say, afala akuna abdan shakura. Must I not be? So many people have got humility in them, according to Sharia. That they haven't got pride in them. That is, that غَمْتُ النَّاسِ وَبَطْرُ الْحَقِّ. That they haven't got, so they haven't got pride in them. But the attitude problem they got. They act like a proud person. They come out and people see them as a proud person. Also remember, what you think of yourself is not important. What perception is created in the minds of the people. The way you are speaking, the way you walk, the way you talk, your kirdar, your raftar, etc. That you show off as a, you are like a show off. And you show off as a proud person, that aura of yours, that thing which is like around you, and which comes out that you're a proud person, that is very, very dangerous. That also a person has to get rid of. Everyone say he's got an attitude problem. Everyone, he's very proud. He's very, he thinks too much of himself. Whether it is because of our knowledge, whether it's our position. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had humility, and he's walking with his sahaba, radiallahu anhum, sometimes in front, sometimes at the back, sometimes in the middle. Everything, he would do work with them as they used to do. That was the, so the perception you must create must not be one of hardness and being very hard and difficult, or one of haughtiness and pride, etc. And what was I saying? Anyway, that it will come with just so, this pride also is a thing that we must, not only the pride itself, shari pride, that we must get rid of according to Sharia, according to Quran and Hadith, but even our attitude which comes off as a proud person, that also must come out. How a person, for example, driving a car, I saw one of our friends, and he's got always problems. One day I saw him, he's driving, he was going out for a drive, maybe it was his wife, whoever was with him. But like very, one is to be carefree, that is in order. When there is occasion, you are carefree. But one is to sit in a proud position, hand hanging out, etc. Or the way you act and the way you even listen to a bayan, the way you put your head and that, your actions. This also show that you think, I'm a judge here. And I'm judging the person who's giving bayan. So all these things are very, very important to correct. So anyway, the hifazat of the tongue, and in Ramadan, the solution to it is, eat, speak as little as possible. If you don't speak at all, You want to use your tongue, by all means, read Quran Sharif in abundance. Read Tasbihat, make zikr, make dua, speak to Allah Ta'ala. Use your tongue in the right way and don't use it in the wrong way, and try in Ramzan the absolute what is necessary. Only that speak, inshallah. Whole life Allah will give you control over the tongue. And a person who's got control over the tongue has been blessed with a very great ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.